How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
My name is Tonya Curry, and this is this week's Acumen Media Report. It's entitled, So Many Questions. Sitha Buzikolo. We felt the weight of war bearing down on us, even though it was happening far from home. Ukraine and Russia stormed across our timelines like a set of Russian military barreling their way through a country that isn't theirs to take. It's a massive story and one that certainly takes the lead in South Africa's news this week. Let's scratch the surface with Acumen Media. I have so many questions. It is my job to watch the news and social media. They call me a media specialist, but between you and I just read and watch the news. It's not hard. Well, okay, it's very hard when you don't have data to work with, but otherwise it's not hard. And this is why I have so many questions. At the start of the week, NATO members started to condemn Putin's actions. Fair enough. I was with them there. After they made these announcements and started sanctioning Russia, they stirred up the narcissism in Putin, and that is not a pretty thing. The only other broadcast we saw of Putin after that was a 15-second video of him telling his heads of military to arm the nukes. You could feel the world gasp. Buildings across the Western world were lit in blue and yellow. Sporting events like the World Cup put restrictions on Russia. Guys, it's World War III and you're still focusing on a World Cup? I think you should stay in your lane. If you think for 1 minute Putin is interested in playing games on a pitch, you're wrong. There's only one game. It's called war, a fight for life, not for goals. There is a beautiful Arabic phrase my father used a lot. Sitha Buzikolo. It means zip it. But the direct translation is close your mouth now. Shut up. Really shut up. South Africa's dialogue started to flip-flop like a fish out of water. You see, Gogo Naledi, you seem to have forgotten that we are part of BRICS. So literally, we are Russian turf. In fact, we owe them a great deal of money. Remember the nuke deal? Is it starting to make sense now, Naledi? BRICS, the clue is in the title, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This stuff is not difficult, Naledi. SA's narrative may have been all over the place, but it was on par with what can only be described as pathetic journalism from the likes of Sky, CNN, and BBC. We said here in SA we wanted peace, then we said we stand with Russia, then we said we stand with Ukraine, and finally, we spoke with our UN vote. We abstained. In other words, we're going to keep quiet now, boys and girls. Sitha Buzikolo. The week unfolded like a history book. Over 1 million refugees left Ukraine and the majority have ended up in Poland. There were calls for Poland to be neutral territory, but then anti-tank and ballistic missiles were traipsed through the country into Ukraine. Poland itself deployed fighter jets. Seems like it's 1939 all over again, hey? We started in Poland then, and here we are today. So many questions. My job is always to read the other side. Even when the other side is the likes of Duduzile Zuma or ANN7. I must. It's my job and I'm an adult. I can take a bit of media manipulation. I can discern what is propaganda and what is likely to be the truth. I've been reading and watching media for a good 20 years. I know, right? No one is playing Trivial Pursuit with me ever. That and because I have a very clever machine that has all the answers. I began my hunt for the alternative narrative. I started where anyone would, with Russian TV, RT. The bias was clear, and even the news readers looked uncomfortable as they delivered their reports. They were pretty grim. I had to find additional sources. My first challenge is that Russian narrative is, well, in Russian. And I started adding words like with English subtitles to my searches. The first and probably most important video was the one that was flighted 2 days before the invasion. It is the one where Putin explains exactly what he is about to do and why. I hadn't seen this video. Just the snippet where he said that we would see destruction that we'd never seen in humanity before, something like that. A bit like you, I suppose. I suppose that's all you saw too, right? Watching the whole video is an entirely different story altogether. Putin went on to describe NATO and how since the 1940s, there was a commitment not to move, not even one inch, towards the east of the planet. He broke down the countries where NATO had destroyed lives and we didn't blink. In fact, Russia has been part of many of these wars without a number. Let me name a few. You'll recognize them, but you're unlikely to call them a world war. Iraq, where we were told that there were weapons of mass destruction, and in fact, it was oil that they were after. Syria, Yemen, Libya, even Palestine crossed our headlines for years. We saw refugees begging for their lives and NATO didn't help. In fact, they were the orchestrators. There are more brown countries, but I'm not going to list them as it's very clear to you and to me that brown lives don't matter. During the last section of his address, Putin sighed through his fury. He said, "We have no other choice. NATO or the Western world want Russia. Ukraine and others surround his border, you see, and they want, no, they're begging to join not only NATO, but the European Union." He gave an analogy. It was like Russia setting up camp on the borders of Canada. He didn't blame NATO, to be fair. He said the decision was coming firmly from the USA. We've heard this one before, right? So many questions. His speech was brilliant and frightening. A bit like Malema and other intelligent politicians we've seen across the years that don't suit our ideals. But we can't help but admire their eloquence, and for the most part, they have a case that is sometimes worthy of attention. I tunneled through some documentaries to learn more. One in particular, Oliver Stone's Interviews with Putin, was an eye-opener. As always, Stone is incredible, but so is Putin. It was here that I learnt of his achievements. I was so ignorant I didn't even know that Yeltsin was a raging alcoholic and that Putin inherited a country that was in major disarray. According to Stone's documentary, Putin raised the income of each household by 10 to 100 fold during the first 8 years of his reign. He took a defunct country and turned it into a superpower over 22 years. We may not like his mannerisms, but he has been an effective leader. Russia, at the point of the interview, did not owe the IMF a single cent. Surely everyone owes the IMF something. No, not Russia. I was impressed by these achievements, and I was also impressed by his forthrightness. He also made it clear he's no angel. And that, he didn't hide it. Sometimes I wish our president would say that too. Then we could move on and get working. Okay, hold up before I get lynched. I'm not asking for a Putin to rule South Africa. I'm saying that it is difficult to look away as the articulate narrative unfolds. I was back on mainstream and now with a healthy dose of skepticism, just how I like it. News broke across the world that sanctions and the closure of SWIFT transactions had pushed the ruble to drop by 40%. I was horrified. Why on earth would you take this incredibly performing country and slash its value in half over 4 days? So many questions. Only later in the week did I find a media treasure, and I'm not sharing it because it might be shut down if it's too popular. Putin has not only legitimized, but had encouraged his nation to move their currency to Bitcoin. So many questions. I spoke to friends and colleagues, and they too had so many questions, where others just said, Putin is a madman. The world would be a better place without him. Things like this are not that simple, though, are they? Then it happened, the incident that made me furious. The Western world banned RT, Russian TV, and any other Russian broadcaster. It was still broadcasting in this BRICS country, but yesterday the feed stopped. Why? Why on earth would we bow to censorship in the year 2022? Most will say propaganda, but hang on. We lived with ANN7 for years and we laughed at them, but we also used them to understand what Zuma was going to do next. Twitter started putting disclaimers on Russian biased media, and my timeline on Zuk's platforms pushed a pro-Ukrainian narrative so hard that I started to question it. For example, Zelensky has now become the darling of war. I started seeing posts that said he is the sexiest man in the world and that all women have a crush on him. Is this a TV show? Didn't you start by calling this World War III? People are dying and you are crushing? They call it the Zelensky effect, no less, and my nausea level started to grow. He was too beautifully placed, and I use that word carefully. The shots you see of him in military uniform are years old. And when he turned up in a t-shirt to address the world, my first thought was, only Madiba gets to break those protocols. I let it slide. I was on Ukraine's side. I had been told in no uncertain terms that the good guys were the Ukrainians, a country I knew nothing about except from history books. Putin called the Ukraine regime Nazis, but Zelensky is an Israeli. So many questions. In a French TV interview, a Ukrainian woman was calling someone all the dogs under the sun. She said the man was a charlatan and will sell out to whoever bids the highest. The anchor tried to clarify that she was talking about Putin, but no, she was referring to her own president. So many questions. I switched to good old CNN, who, through the tyrant like Trump, we learnt, are very heavily biased. They were interviewing Hillary Clinton, and the question was this. Has Putin lost his marbles? That was the question. I kid you not. Her response was that she was not sure about his state of mind. Sorry, chaps, but if you watch his announcement, you can call him a dictator, a warmonger, a narcissist, but one thing you cannot question is his state of mind. That brain is as sharp as a pin. Put Biden and Putin in a room and Biden probably won't be able to point out Ukraine on the map. That's not even an exaggeration. At the State of the Union address, he sent his strength, good wishes, and USA backing to Iran, in his speech. Kamala Harris literally jumped from her seat to correct him when the crowd stood up and gave him a standing ovation with their little Ukrainian flags waved above their heads. Now I'm beginning to understand why they banned RT from the USA, but still, so many questions. A story that broke my attention and will cheer you up. This was headline news, guys. The South African Post Office can't deliver to Ukraine and Russia. Are you laughing? I thought you might. They can't deliver to their own depots, for heaven's sake, let alone a P.O. box in Johannesburg, and you want to talk to me about a place called Ukraine? Come on. My goodness, I've written a great deal and spoken a great deal about Russia and Ukraine. Perhaps we should see what questions remain here in South Africa. The good news, Ramaphosa fired Kaya Sitwole, the Minister of Police, that left us to hang ourselves in the insurrection. I bet Becky Nkele is happy about that. Finally, some positive movement. The state capture report, part 3, was released. Uncle Gwede is under fire this time, but no mention of the president's involvement. Basasa was the focus and agrees he asked for reprieve. Who can blame him? He's the only one that got nailed by the Zondo Commission. So many questions. David Mabuza was asked to be placed permanently at Luthuli House, and the president said no. Something wicked this way comes. Be wary. Disgraced Zweli Mkhize put his hat in the ring for president. So many questions. The HSRC revealed Acumen Media stats without permission on the insurrection and on the social media insurgents. I don't care, because at least they're not chasing computers anymore. A phone call would have been nice, though, HSRC. Busi Makhubane is about to get into an orange overall. Fingers crossed, hey? Albert Fritz, the sexual predator, resigned and headed to court. Paul Kennedy, the paedophile, died before he could get into court with his chummy. So many questions. We haven't had a racism story for a while, so the school story got press it deserved. They're not alone, though. When will we ever deal with systemic racism? It'll cost you more for a tank of fuel than it will to drill for minerals in the Ukraine. Hike after hike is crippling our working class as we struggle with transport and food costs are soaring. The Cape Fires are back. It was Juju's birthday, and they passed a blanket censorship act across South Africa for media content providers. Yeah, you missed that one, and you were meant to. No to any censorship. The first SA creative agency set up offices in the metaverse's Ubuntu land. I wonder if they wear pajamas in meetings in the metaverse. I hate to drop the final bomb on you, but it's been that kind of week. Kimmy, Kanye and Kim, are finally done. It's all good as Ye has found himself a copy-paste version of Kimmy. So many questions. I'll leave you with these pearls of wisdoms. Don't believe all you read. There are three sides to every story, and we will never know the truth. It's Friday, so be like me. Leave the Matrix for the weekend. Go and see something beautiful while we still have a world to enjoy. I'm Tanya Curry, and this is the Acumen Media Report.